She, her.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we are talking about Mouthwashing, which is a horror walking sim developed by Wrong Organ and published by Critical Reflex for the PC in 2024.
Yeah, welcome to October.
Yeah.
This little shit's at it again. Time for terror.
This little shit? What little shit?
Yeah. We're at our little horde. You know, little shits where we're gonna little goblins, ghouls, you know, coming at you.
Yeah. Just generally, little shits all about.
Yeah. Little shits all over the shop.
Yeah.
Coming at you.
Mm-hmm. As always, all of October is going to be horror games. Mm-hmm. And so this one, Mouthwashing, this is a story about the crew of a freighter spaceship that crashes, and their efforts to survive over the course of the following months.
Yes. It is a nonlinear story. You jump around in time, centered kind of around before and after this crash. And we control two point of view characters, the captain and the first mate. Mm-hmm. Doing this a little bit early on, I think. Yep. This is your offboarding point for spoilers. There's not a mechanical. I feel like you and I have only talked about this a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like almost everything in this game that's mechanical is pretty detrimental.
Yeah.
Where there's not a whole lot we can talk about without spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game that lives and dies in a story and how it tells its story, both of which you would be served not to have spoiled for you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how often people listen to WoFs, you know, before they've decided if they're going to play.
As part of their inkling, shopping process.
Like, yeah. Yeah. As a shopping process thing. Like, we're not a consumer report. So like, if you're considering it, now is the time to decide and to play it first. Yeah. It's like the length of a movie. It's a one or two sitting game. I did one sitting. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's a cool story.
It's good. It's one of the better horror games to come out last year in 2024, right?
Yeah. Like, if you like a movie length walking sim, you know, roughly like long movie, but like a movie length walking sim, it's good. It's a good version of those. I think you would like it.
Yeah. It's up there with Devotion while not being better than it, in my opinion.
I like it a little bit less than Devotion, and we'll get into why.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah. Devotion hit my heart stronger than this did.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and that just might be because it's in my Q zone, you know, as a thing. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. This is a game. I'm very happy I managed to go in this without knowing anything about it. And that's kind of surprising with its fandom. don't know anything about this if you can help it.
Yeah. This game is extremely mechanics light. I brought up Devotion for a reason. This is kind of like that. It's a walking sim with light adventure game elements, extremely light. The mildest of puzzles, mostly just tasks that you need to find the thing to interact with. And a few mechanical set piece scenes that probably didn't need to be there, but I can understand why they tried.
It feels a little, it's interesting. Neither of those, none of them do anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a weird thing where there's nothing new in this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is good, but it's made of constituent parts of other video games.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they had just gone full walking sim.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way that it tells its story is really interesting though.
Yes.
This is like a bottle episode. Mm-hmm. We have a very limited cast. We have a very, very small setting in this. They do video game stuff with unusual spaces, but it's a little bit like a stage play in that it's mostly just about talking to characters and, you know, there's a little bit of observation, but it's largely through dialogue.
Yeah. I could see this being staged as a play with some kind of like lighting trick to show the before and after the crash stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You spend your time navigating the ship to find people wherever they're at during these different scenes. And the ship is in different states of repair, depending on if it's before or after the crash. The biggest difference is that parts of the ship are locked off by the safety foam, which was deployed to stop explosive decompression after the crash.
Yes. Yeah. We have a very limited cast. The cast is what this game is about. So we're going through them here. Curly is the ship's captain. And strongly implied before you find out more about what's going on that he crashed the ship.
Yes.
Before the crash, he is upset about his job. He's in a dead end. He does not want to do this anymore. And afterwards, he's injured to the point of being immobile and speechless. He becomes the icon for this game if you've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, basically what they call in Squid Game a sack lunch. Or a packed lunch. He becomes the packed lunch.
Yes. He is mostly inert. All he can do is scream. Is what it is. He's the guy who's all wrapped up in bandages. Eyes are associated with this. Like it's his one eye sticking out that you're seeing all the time. You play as him in the sections before the crash. After the crash, you play as Jimmy, the first mate who has to take over as the interim captain. While the real one is a packed lunch. And he is a dick. Like, this is in the genre of horror games that is a portrait of a guy who sucks.
Yes. Yeah. Like, this dude sucks, and he spent a lot of time in him. They do some stuff with push and pull, whether there's anything sympathetic to him.
Yeah.
They're doing something intentional with you being in his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can mean well, so you kind of project it onto the character.
Yeah.
As you figure things out. Anya is the ship's medic. She's very timid. She acts very afraid of Jimmy. She isolates herself from the rest of the crew. Her eyes are based on Shelley Duvall from The Shining. They have to be.
It's unmistakable. Yeah.
Yeah. She's always going, like, you know, the thing about like, oh, you know, shit's serious when Florence Pugh goes, big frown.
Yeah.
Anya does that with her eyes.
Yes. Yeah. Extremely sorrowful. We have the gruff old senior mechanic Swansea. Who relapses on his alcoholism in a way that's related to the title. And he is kind of the like most directly in conflict with Jimmy.
Yeah. And probably the closest to, you know, he's kind of a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, more or less. And then we have our innocent here, Daisuke, who is this intern, kind of rich kid intern, assistant mechanic. Thrown in the crew at the last minute, he's positive, naive, and largely used for comic relief.
Yes. Yeah.
Damn this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are the characters. People fucking love these. This game has a rabid fandom that does all kinds of shipping stuff. Lots of, fan art, both sexy and non. My general sense is go with God, but also it is strange given what happens in this.
Yeah, it's harmless, you know. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I'll be like, "Man, I can't believe that people ship these things." And people are like, "How are you still surprised about that stuff?"
I'm not.
Surprise isn't the word.
Yeah, you know,
it just seems odd to me every time it happens. Like, you know, I will have given something up when this no longer seems odd.
Yeah.
Like I will have lost a part of myself.
Yeah,
you know, it's what it is it feels to me very random what catches on with fandom.
Yes.
You know, it's not that this is a bad story or that these are bad characters. Mm-hmm. It tells its like very sad story pretty well. The idea of choosing these characters to be like, in my headcanon, they had this kind of relationship and played like this game together before the crash, or they might have dated before the crash, or maybe this character had a crush on this one before the crash.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are, there's nothing in the text. I'm not surprised that it happens. I'm surprised where it happens.
Yes.
You know?
This kind of like in the lo-fi horror game scene, this kind of became the Hades.
Yes. It's got huge Hades energy in a fandom. Like if you go to your Fangamer, there's like a bunch of toys and stuff about this. If you look at cosplay, tons of people cosplay as the characters. The Reddit is all like, I know there's nothing in the text that says this character's gay, but what if they were? Because I would like to date this character. And it's just very strange to me because there's very little text and the things that happen to these characters are very serious.
Yes.
You know, like the text that is there is good, but we don't get a whole lot of these characters' interior lives.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really well developed. So I don't understand how that happens. It's interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know,
I only bring it up because, like, if you know about this game, it is either because you are already into this kind of horror game and it popped up on all kinds of lists and stuff, or you're aware of it because you saw a bunch of stuff that is fan art or fan depictions of it, and you looked up and found, oh, it's about this game, right?
Yes.
It's a part of the story of this game, just like, you know, the drama around it became a part of it. You don't have to know about that. I'm literally just bringing it up because fucking everything is this now. Just understand that it involves Asmongold and Grums and whether or not people are too woke.
Okay. I have no idea. I missed that. I think that happened while I was online, but I missed that completely.
Yeah.
Which is good. And fine, neither of those people are worth listening to. They're unserious.
You don't need to know about it.
Yeah. Trying to imagine either of those people having an opinion that's like worth anything. Like it's just like, oh yeah, no, that's worth considering.
Nah.
Yeah. They're not serious.
Nope.
Not serious people. So yeah, just weird. I had the moment, I've talked about this before. One of my favorite things to do in life is when I finish a game and I go online and like let the floodgates open.
Yeah.
You know, so I look up and I'm always curious, like, was there stuff that I missed? What are other people's takes on this? Things like that. And I was gobsmacked to find that's what this was.
Yeah.
After, you know, not really seeing it, knowing that this game had, you know, seeing Curly, seeing the sack launch and seeing, you know, art of that, I was like, okay, that's a striking image. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then going online and just seeing people like engaging in full fandom in this was very surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been trying to get Liv to explain it to me. She was raised on Tumblr.
Okay.
You know, she's got a little bit more understanding of like fan fiction and fan culture and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, it's just odd to me. Why this and not that?
Yeah. You know? And like we're kind of lingering on it, but like I do want to know, but also I do not believe I'm going to understand just because I am not predisposed to it.
Yeah, it's a currency that doesn't spend.
Yeah.
You know, like that gift card's no good here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I've never seen that gift card. You know, it's weird. That gift card doesn't work at my store. It's just really, really weird. Yeah. If you're listening to this as service, why we think it is weird will come through.
Yes.
Because this game deals with serious, real stuff that is, to me, antithetical to, like, let's have fun smashing our action figures together.
Yeah. Part of why this took off, I think, is because it has a very distinct and attractive visual style. This is retro low poly, but via Mega Man Legends.
Yeah. It's a PS1 era kind of thing with aesthetics around it that are kind of, you know, cassette futurism kind of thing, like almost like vapor wavy, you know, distorted images, VHS hiss, things like that in terms of like scene transitions and such. Music and sound design is good in this, really kind of spacey pads and synths for this, you know, makes you tense at the right moments. You'd be. The thing that's cool about this is that it is a well-written story.
Yeah.
Sucks to have to call that out as rare, but in like games, especially games that kind of dress up as flashlight simulator jump scare things.
Yeah.
Early on, like the writing is really good. This is, this is an adult story, told through character work. There is subtext in it.
Yep.
You know, there's an interesting mystery to this. The way it mets out information and everything is literary. You know, it's not high, you know, I'm not saying it's like the highest thing in the world, right? Like somebody's gonna be like, oh, well, like this, have you read Murakami? Or, you know, I don't know. It's not like that. But for a video game, we're batting well above our weight class for the genre, I think.
That's part of what made this stick out when I played it. It's like, oh, this is an interactive movie, but it is, batting above its weight class. It is treating this stuff with gravity and like not really relying an awful lot on straight up exposition. Gravity and subtlety.
One of the things I thought about that the reason why this might have taken off is that it is figuring out what happened in this that's not directly said.
Mm-hmm.
Could be some people's first experience doing that.
Yeah.
You know, figuring out a narrative puzzle, like figuring out, you know, oh shit, I figured it out. And that could mm-hmm. engender a lot of affection, I think.
Yeah.
You know, not, it, I like it a lot. It's not, I'm not saying like that's the only reason you could be affectionate for it, but I wonder if that's why it took off with the Youngs specifically.
Yeah. And like, I had that experience with Silent Hill 1, right? Yeah. And it's hard for me to, it's hard for me to put myself in the mind of somebody who didn't have it with that. But now all that shit is just documented. Everything is spoiled. Everybody knows roughly what it's all about. Here is something, yeah, that's, you know, probably that. I think that's a good point.
Yeah, that's what it feels a little bit like to me. Mm-hmm. We eventually go into the realm zone. Mm-hmm. A whole lot of realms in this thing at the end. Yeah. To me, this wears out its welcome a little bit. It's what edges out devotion for me.
Yeah.
Like basically, or edges devotion ahead of it. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about it when we get there. I think some of that is good. I think some of it is, wears out its welcome a little bit.
Yeah. It's kind of a shotgun approach.
Yeah. A little hat on a hat. And then a hat, and then a hat, and the hat. Some of the hats are good. And now we're playing Hatress.
Yep. So like, oh, no, nobody wants that. Nobody's wants happy that. We're here.
Let's see Pajanov with the vets. And it just...
quit trying to make Bomtris happen. Alexei?
Yeah.
So this studio, Wrong Organ, they're based out of Sweden. They shipped one game prior to this in 2022, which is another horror game. It's called How Fish Is Made. I've not played that. That is probably going to be a good one weekend stream. Oh, I never promote this, but I want to say this on Horror Month. I stream horror games every weekend on Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/duckfeedtv. I sometimes promote it, but like, I want people to know, because if you're interested in this shit, a lot of it is stuff that I've streamed.
That's true.
Yeah. That's sorry. True. I don't want to make it all a thing, but I'll eventually do How Fish Is Made.
The so the company Wrong Organ, they sat down and they come up with their next game after doing How Fish Is Made, which is, that's got a great How Is Babby Formed kind of cadence to it. And they're inspired by their experience working on other projects where things had gone very wrong.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, is in various stages of denial about that and coping around whether or not things could be fixed.
Yes.
There's a major theme in this. Mm-hmm. The inspirations for this in terms of setting and everything are really clear. Like we're in a spacer, mm-hmm. working class space stuff. So Alien, Event Horizon. There's also a little bit of The Shining in here, a little bit of Sunshine. Yeah.
Yeah. A thing made up of its constituent parts, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Visual style, pretty clear. This is a movement that's been here for a long time, not going to go away. The low poly horror thing. They specifically cite the games of Puppet Combo, kind of one of the first major players in this aesthetic back in like the mid 10s.
We know how some, we know about some plans are abandoned for this. They had a sixth crew member. That was cut because they couldn't be used well thematically. They got rid of Swansea's dog because that would be too much. Glad, mm-hmm. you know, didn't need that to happen.
Nope.
This game got positive buzz right from the beginning. First with its announcement, and then a really good showing at Steam Next Fest with the demo in 2024, early 2024. Mm-hmm. And this is really well loved. You know, glowing reviews from critics and fans, Metacritic 88, Steam Review 96%. Huge, well-established fan base. Tons of merch available. Mm-hmm. We're in the t-shirt zone. If you want a t-shirt of this, you get the t-shirt.
If you want a t-shirt of this man who is horribly burned, I think there are at least like five of them.
There's so many of them, It's and it's it kind of reminds me, Crow Country did that a little bit as well. A little bit, like also took off because it had cute designs and stuff. Had a similar kind of thing, but less emotional, less character investment.
Right. Yeah. We don't know what the studio is doing next. I'll be paying attention. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Curious. Like this is definitely, and I'm curious about their first game as well. Like these people can write.
They can.
Let's get into it.
We have our introduction where we do the crash. you know, we are on the Tulpar, which is a freighter working with the Pony Express, which is still extant here, delivery company. They're 147 days into a 392-day trip, so spending more than a year hauling whatever they're hauling. And we get a flash on the screen saying, I hope this hurts, and we're 0 days before the crash.
These kind of pop up as like white text on black, you know, cut in every once in a while. We get these kind of things.
Real Evangelion kind of text treatment cut ins.
Yeah. We're in the cockpit of the ship, and we are limited in what we can do. We can only steer directly into the crash, into the celestial body. Mm-hmm. The autopilot's warning us about it. We have to turn it off. There's a little bit of foreshadowing here.
Yes.
In this section, you can find Anya's ID in the locker.
Yeah.
It's cool that they do that.
Mm-hmm.
The we go down a labyrinth of corridors that are illogical and stuff, and I had a sinking feeling.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, because again, like, the gameplay parts of this are just made out of considered parts.
Mm-hmm.
We're going through this. We're seeing the safety signs. There's, you know, as we go through, they're all, I don't know, like, gently dystopian.
It's just this kind of thing, you know, the Weyland Yutani, like,
yes,
you know, every just it's the propaganda line, like, we want a well-rested crew, and then the text at the bottom is, you know, any sleep over 5 hours will be punished or something.
Yeah,
right,
like, yeah. We just need to know it's bad working conditions.
Yes,
you know, going back and forth through these hallways, we hear a baby crying and open some doors until we get a jump scare from Paul, the Pony Express mascot, horse.
I say Polly because that is easier, but it is spelled P-O-L-E. Yeah.
No idea.
No idea.
That's supposed to be. But again, sinking feeling, right? Like, I felt, oh, I'm going to go through unlimited hallways with jump scares.
Yeah.
Nope. That sucks. It's not really what the game is about. When these more pedestrian indie horror game elements sneak their way in, it's really jarring because you spend a long time away from them.
You do. Yeah.
You know, long stretches of just doing the story. And then it's just like, well, I don't know. We haven't had a scare in a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, gotta throw a scare in there.
Weirdly a commonality with fear in that.
Yeah. It's interesting. It always reads to me a little insecure, but I don't know. Right. Because I want to trust these people. It feels a little bit like, oh, people will be upset if we don't throw in some moving through a spooky hallway that's illogical.
Yeah. I wonder if they're just trying to communicate that the person who did the crash is not in their right state of mind, comma, crashing intentionally is a sign you're not in your right state of mind.
Yeah, I kind of understood. And it's a mystery already. Like, doing that is so weird.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, again, hat on hat is kind of, if I had to sum up anything that makes this less than like an A+ to me, it's all hat on hat stuff.
Yeah.
It's not a whole lot of things it does wrong. It's a lot of things it underlines too many times.
Yes.
Yeah. We're now 2 months after the crash. We're going to jump all around and we're playing as Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy wants to break into the cargo hold to see if there's anything that can be used to help everyone survive.
Yeah.
And Swansea says, we set up this conflict immediately, says, you know, they take that stuff really seriously. Not getting paid is going to be worse than dying. Like, we will lose our money from this.
Yeah. But Jimmy is the captain, so he's going to figure out how to do this. They can't get in with an axe. There's an axe in play. You've got to go and get the captain's code scanner. You know, he says, hey, for better or worse, I'm captain now. This is like a black light that will reveal some numbers that you can use to like enter different devices.
Yep. Going to be your primary inventory item for most of the game. Mm-hmm. Also has a tiny flashlight on it, kind of.
Kind of
shines a little bit light. Mm-hmm. We're in a lounge, and this is decked out with all of the propaganda. As I mentioned, it has a talking pulley statue here, and everyone's sleeping here. You know, there's an emergency foam everywhere. There are pallets everywhere. There's a huge screen with a picture of a sunset. Very sunshine, very dystopian.
Casting a light on this, making everything like all orange. And Daisuke says, like, hey, you know, maybe we'll make the news when we're rescued. And we talk about like how much time we have left. Like, we have less food than air. We have 4 months of air. So we're going to have to figure out how to stretch this.
And you get kind of your first like creepiness as you head into the medical bay And you see Anya, who is in the medical bay with Curly, on the bed, covered in bandages, no hands, no feet, completely burned. One eye peeks out from things. One eye is undamaged. The other one is covered by bandages, and mm-hmm. he cannot speak.
No.
And you immediately start berating Anya.
Yes.
She hates giving Curly his painkillers. Mm-hmm. He screams when he does it. It's really unpleasant. Mm-hmm. So we have to do it for her, and this is her job.
Right.
You know, she's the medical officer. They make you do it. Mm-hmm. This is great. You walk up to Curly. You have to open his mouth. It makes a sound.
Mm-hmm.
You get an achievement for making him talk, like going nom 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 nom. Which is like, I'm glad they recognized that I was going to do that. And then you stick painkillers in his mouth, and it's gross. It's horror movie stuff, like putting your hand into an aperture.
Yeah,
you know, is scary.
Mm-hmm. And he's there. He's like looking at you. He's aware of what's happening, but all he can do is have his mouth opened and scream as he chokes and then tries to swallow this painfully.
Yes.
Yeah.
She wonders, you know, why he crashed the ship, why the captain did that. Mm-hmm. And we talk about how we agreed to keep him alive, you know, but just everyone agreed to keep him alive, but for different reasons.
Right.
For this. Like, he was very injured, obviously, and we're maintaining him.
Right. Swansea is outside the utility room saying, like, hey, you know, I'm still trying to dig through the foam in here. Like, it got real foamed up. You know, can't go inside. If you do it wrong, it will cause explosive decompression. We'll go to the cockpit to get this black light thing, and we go into the hold, which is huge and full of identical boxes, end of Raiders style.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got a lot of boxes of something. And the game does a trick here where the game looks like it freezes when it cuts between time.
Mm-hmm.
The first time this happened, you know, I was like, oh, the game crashed. Once you realize it's happening, I think this is actually a cool trick.
It's very cool.
For jumping through time. Yeah. We're going to jump before the back to 7 days before the crash. Now we're playing as Curly.
Yes.
Curly is finishing his psych eval with Anya. And Anya asks if he can give the one to Jimmy. For that. She doesn't want to give it to Jimmy. And he kind of fucks with her. She says something about how he is sexually excited by Pole. The thing they kind of joke back and forth
here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Jimmy is just constantly complains about needing to take these things, right?
Yes.
So you find him. He's in the utility room. This is the first time you get a chance to see him. He looks kind of like, do you remember the old Something Awful forums user Barnacle Jim, the guy with the long face?
He does look a little bit like Barnacle Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've been waiting for the Shining Barnacle Jim crossover fic, this is it.
Yep.
Yeah. And whoever Swansea, I guess Swansea looks a little bit like Chief Irons.
Kinda. Swansea, you know, I look at him and all I can see is the more butch of the gay guys from Mission Hill.
Sure. Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, we talked to him, as we mentioned, he's using an axe to break Daisuke out of some emergency foam. He triggered this while trying to fix this vent that's been collapsed. They have this sparking vent, a Chekhov's vent.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all like crushed inside. So Jimmy meets us in the cockpit, and like the hallways are stretching forever as we're headed there. We're playing as Curly here, and you kind of fall into this endless field of blood, and you run as the sun rises and like all these ladders pop up and warning sirens. Curly's not doing great.
Yeah, it's neat looking.
Yeah.
When you reach the cockpit, Jimmy does not want to take the eval. And you kind of talk about your past. You get a sense of their relationship.
Yeah.
You know, he's adjusting to being a co-pilot. He struggled on Earth. Curly is struggling with feeling like this is all he'll ever be.
Yeah.
You know, just good enough. Like, he's peaked. He's at the top of the ladder. And they talk about this, you know, at the top of the ladder, you can start a new ladder, but you have to start at the bottom.
Yes.
You know, you don't know how high the ladder goes when you start it.
No. And you end up stuck, you know, and Curly and Jimmy know each other going way back. Right.
Yes.
Curly actually got Jimmy the job here.
Yeah, they're friends, longtime friends.
Yeah.
We get a fax from corporate. It's bad news, but we don't get to read it.
Mm-hmm.
When we start to read it, I love that. We get a scrambled take responsibility flash on the screen, Evangelion thing. This is going to be a running flash on the screen.
Yeah. So now we're back to 2 months after the crash. We see what's inside of the crates. After we get a little hallucination, there's a TV and we turn to a commercial for Dragon Breath Mouthwash, All Day Fire Fresh.
Yes.
That is what's inside of this. They are the dedicating more than a year of their life to transport an ocean of mouthwash across space.
Yep. And defective mouthwash that wouldn't work.
Yep.
You know, it's mint flavored juice. Ani even says like, this is too sugary to use as a disinfectant. And Swansea goes, all right. And takes it and drinks it. He's off the wagon. It's 14% ethanol. So they have a whole hold full of very strong booze.
Yes. He breaks his 14. Yeah. He takes his 14 years of sobriety and Anya breaks down. There is nothing here that is going to keep them alive except a bunch of sugar.
Yep. It's no good. We cut over to 6 days before the crash. We're Curly. We go up the stairs to the lounge where we walk into a surprise birthday party. Mm-hmm. The crew gets one birthday party per trip. And it's your turn.
Yep.
For this, so they kind of do everyone. And we do a little puzzle here where you have to make a cake using the pouches and the, you know, replicator thing. These are tedious. I don't like these.
No. It's
we
just
do these a couple times.
It's just survival horror, like item mixing, combining, except with an extra step.
With a recipe. You just have to do it. Super tasky. It's also, again, hat on a hat stuff. Like, one of the things is that the crew can only make like an unflavored food. The sweetener, you have to use the captain's code.
Yeah.
You know, it's a restricted item because they're just really, mistreatment airlines. we're cartoonishly evil shipping, you know? Yep.
Yeah. You have to pay extra not to get your ass kicked.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very funny. Yeah. It plays a little happy birthday when we make it and we get asked to make a speech. And then Curly, the master of comic timing, tells them the news at this point.
Right.
The bad news from the facts. Pony Express is going out of business.
Yeah.
They're all fucked.
Yeah. All of them except Daisuke. Daisuke's parents are rich. But Swansea is old. Anya can't get into medical school. You know, Jimmy just got here. He has nothing to go back to. And this is the last manned shipping company.
Yes. And Jimmy, who we've had hints that is a piece of shit. Here's his first like full hand reveal.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit. He comes at Curly from this in a big bad way.
Yes.
You know, you got what you wanted without the guilt. You know, I get to go back to my struggle of life, but you get to start over with a clean slate as this great, glorious captain.
Yeah.
Feels a little unmotivated to me. Like, I understand tensions are high.
And
he sucks and he's a psycho. But it just he comes out real hard.
Yeah.
You know,
it just what he says about Anya never got into medical school because, well, let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's tried the test a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Like she's not quite getting there. Mm-hmm. He says, you're just heading to a bigger and better place.
Yeah.
You know, and Curly is rightfully says, like, I'm working on my life being a place I don't want to fucking escape.
Yeah.
You know, like tensions are very high at this point.
Yeah.
We saw through the cake with a knife. He said, well, we might as well serve the cake.
Yeah.
We start doing that. The mood is ruined.
Mm-hmm. Now we're 3 months after the crash. We're Jimmy again. And we wake up to distant shouting. Anya and Swansea are in the cockpit and Anya is crying like they've been having a really hard conversation. But that's not the yelling. The yelling is Curly. All he can do is scream. He hasn't had his painkillers because Anya hasn't done it.
Yep. She offers to do it and we angrily say, we'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, we'll just do your job. There are only a few of them left, you know, and you can, when you look at him, you say, once these are gone, we'll have nothing to keep them quiet.
Yeah.
It's a great situation. This idea of this just screaming sacked lunch.
Mm-hmm.
They just have pills to quiet it.
Yeah.
You know, it's very horrific. Jimmy is talking to Curly at this point and says, I know what everyone is thinking, the way they look at me. What can I say? And even then, what would she do? And we don't know exactly what this is referring to yet, but we piece it out over the course of the game.
Yeah.
Jimmy is very angry at Curly.
Yeah. And you give him the pills and the screen goes black and then you hear hitting. He's having this one-sided conversation with him, but also abusing him.
Yeah. Abusing the sack lunch.
Yeah.
We go to leave and the screen does this smeary glitch and we're cut to the lounge where the screen is busted. Curly sits at the table with cake. And he's burned, but he's talking now. Yeah. And he talks about how he wants to make his life something he doesn't want to run away from. You know, sometimes winning, sometimes having, sometimes that means winning, sometimes it means having some awful cake with a friend.
Yeah. You've got to go looking for a knife to cut this cake, and you find an axe embedded in the pilot seat's cockpit. And then your objective, you begin the little objectives at the top of your screen. The objective is feast. And when you go back, the screen in the lounge is a big, like a huge close-up of an eye. And Curly is laying there where the cake was. And when you go to use the axe on it, the screen smears.
Yeah. This always reminds me of the Next Generation episode with the mint peptide cake.
Okay.
With the dreams where Troy becomes a cake. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's great. It's weird.
Okay.
When you talked about this being possibly some people's first, decoding literature stuff, right? Like the axe is in the back of the captain's chair.
Yeah.
You know, it's like literally been stabbed in the back here in this coma fantasy kind of thing. There's a lot of stuff like that in that.
Yeah.
Not knocking it. Like, it's fine. It's just like, I can imagine it having a huge impact the first time you notice that.
Yeah. You know, and you go back and suddenly the captain's the cake, the captain's chair. Like, you get a, you know, you get a sense of what's going on, even if it's just, you know, an outline of something right now.
Well, that, and also like, oh, he stabbed him in the back.
Yes.
You know, just down to kind of real literal.
Yeah.
You know, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. We cut to 4 months after the crash. We're still Jimmy. The front of the cargo hold is all raided now. There's all these mouthwash boxes around. Mm-hmm. Bottles everywhere. Everyone's drinking.
Yeah. Swansea is in the lounge dancing with his axe.
Yeah, that's great.
Clearly having indulged the most. And he's saying like, Jimmy here, he's going to pull the plug on all of us. Right?
In a Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines way, you can just watch him dance for a while.
You can.
It's pretty fun.
he's really into it. He's moving.
It's a good animation. He's boogieing.
Something that is funny about this is there aren't walk cycles. Nobody moves when you're looking. And when somebody is following you, they creepy Watson.
Yeah. His look back and they're just staring at you.
Yeah.
Anya is startled when we go to talk to her. She's thinking about drinking the mouthwash. She hasn't given in yet. But turns to this lack of painkillers. And she says, hey, not all the medicine was in my office. Someone was in this locker that was foamed over. Maybe we can get some more.
Yeah.
So we ask Swansea about the axe. He's been very protective about the axe. Mm-hmm. And he turns around and plants it in the screen. We've already seen this in the future.
Yeah.
And he's kind of, again, flipping out and he's drunk.
Angry. Yeah.
We take the axe. We get the pills from this box. And Anya asks us to feed them to Curly again. These pills are a different pill.
Yeah. Paracetamol. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically aspirin.
Yeah.
Like this is a way worse pain reliever.
Yeah.
Through this. And Jimmy rants about all the things that he has to do, how everything is falling on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's ranting to Anya and the objectives show up.
Yeah.
In the usual spot as he says all the things he's had to do. Like get the scanner, get the axe, get the, you know, these things, they pop up as video game objectives.
Yeah. So you go to feed Curly. The locker also had some isopropyl alcohol in it. I wondered like, okay, can I try and put Curly out of his misery? Like, what will Jimmy say if I try that? You just can't use it. It doesn't pop up.
Do you get an Chivo for it?
No Chivos. At least not this time. Maybe I tried it when I streamed. I don't know. This is my second time playing this. Yeah. So, you know, Jimmy complains to Curly about this responsibility, you know, get one-sided conversation. You know, our worst moments don't make us monsters, huh? You were a good Captain Curly and you'll be one again. Very strong denial.
Yep. And in this point, we're still thinking Curly crashed the ship. That's his worst moment. You know,
now he's a monster.
A little bit of a misdirect.
Yeah.
We have cut over to Jimmy. It says 6 hours until judgment. We've entered into a new kind of time frame thing where you've locked yourself in the cockpit and Swansea is banging on the door for you to get out.
Yeah.
You have to try to bar the door.
Mm-hmm.
You grab some rope from the captain's locker.
Your inventory has a ball of static that is just called 3? And it says, my hands won't stop shaking, which I think is a fun little bit. You try and reinforce the door with a metal bar, and we try and use the rope on it, like to anchor it. Swansea breaks through the glass.
Yeah, this is a good use of mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
I think subverting this adventure game puzzle, like you're picking up items to do this, but it's just for the narrative. It gets interrupted. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is clever. We cut over to 2 days before the crash where Curly. We're in the lounge with Anya at night. She likes sleeping there because of the fake night sky screen there. And there's other reasons she likes sleeping there as well, which we'll get hinted at in the scene. Talks about if you look close, you can see a dead pixel. And Curly says, you know, if I knew where that was, it would drive me crazy seeing it.
She says, oh, but for me, it's always there.
Yeah. She says, you know, how many days do we have left on the trip? And it's 287 days, you know, just less than 8 months. And we get an important clue to figure out what happened here. She says, you know, why does Pony Express put locks on the medical and cockpit doors, but nothing on the sleeping quarters?
Yeah.
For and this.
Curly's only response is safety.
Yeah.
And then things kind of glitch out. And if you're astute, you can pretty much put together at this point roughly what happens. Yeah. Her hearing like, okay, yeah, that's about 8 months. Uh-oh. And then also the unlocked doors, you know, Jimmy. Yeah,
Jimmy sex assaulted her. Raped her. That's why the fandom of this seems weird to me, that there's like a bunch of shipping and stuff. Cause it's like, I don't know. I had not put the pregnancy together at this point. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking how long she has to stay on board with her rapist.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but the, why aren't there locks on the sleeping quarters? Mm-hmm. You know, just like, oof. That is rough. And Curly in this game is slightly more sympathetic than this game has two monsters in it. You know, it's Jimmy and Curly. What the game is about, at least in part, is culpability. Mm-hmm. Here, you know, Jimmy is most culpable, as we're going to find out. Mm-hmm. You know, if you haven't figured it out, he's the one who crashed the ship. But he's also, you know, a rapist, like he's a psychopath. Curly knew what happened.
Yes.
That is kind of the more mature thing this is dealing with, I think, that isn't often done in games.
Right. You know, games use sex assault for drama all the time, especially horror games. It's not the greatest thing. The fact that this goes one level beyond that and turns to like the complicity of people who knew and didn't take immediate action is what I think elevates this.
It's that and the fact that we're in the aftermath of it.
Yes.
And exploring somebody who has to sit in the aftermath of that. That's a real thing that people have to do. You know, you sometimes have to interface with people who have done great abuse to you, you know, and making that a space station as just a horror idea.
Yeah.
You know,
like, oh, there's no way out. There's nothing.
Literally no way out. What is one of the worst situations you can be in with no way out?
Yeah.
That is, again, that's a, what that feels new to me for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't work if Anya was the point of view character. Nope. I think, you know, I think that that would be, this, we had to figure this in. You wouldn't have the narrative trick of teasing it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, glitch cut there. Now we're 5 months after the crash. And Jimmy is talking to Daisuke. Daisuke is panicking. Things have deteriorated even further. Anya is stuck in medical. And when you go to like check on the door, see how to get her out of there, Anya sheepishly admits, hey, there's nothing wrong with the door. And Jimmy's like, oh, okay. So you just locked yourself in here. You know, saying like, hey, you can't go breaking down at every little hardship here.
Yeah. Jimmy, I have no sympathy for Jimmy, but what Jimmy is doing here when he says stuff like this is trying to on the outfit of a leader.
Yeah.
You know, like to him, saying that is a captainly thing to say. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's like, hold it together.
Hold it together. You know, he's trying, you know, on some gross level, he is trying, absolutely failing, but trying to be a leader in the wake of this.
Yeah.
You know, trying on big boy shoes. Anya says, you know, you're right. You're right all along. I should have done this from the beginning. And she says, this isn't my worst moment. It's my best decision.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take care of it.
I'll take care of it. And the conclusion they jump to is that she's talking about killing Curly. This is kind of alluding to possibly some other, you know, conversations. You know, like maybe she was one of the people who kept him alive. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, Daisuke is like, hey, we need to get in there and stop her. She's going to kill the captain. So it's like, yeah, we can get in through the ducts. Happens to be that duct that is broken that Swansea wanted to keep us out of.
Yeah. Swansea won't let us into the utility room.
No.
You know, he says we're on God's favorite planet, so we get to name it. I'm going to name it Wake Rock. That's his last name.
No, he says, we're God's favorites on this planet, so we get to name it, which is such a good drunk idea.
Yeah, God's favorite, because you're the only. So great. Super drunk. He's been protecting this, you know, this utility room the whole time.
Yeah.
We can't get into there. This is one of the many, like, not quite red herrings, but like casting suspicion. The fact that he's been, and he's not innocent either. Like, he's got a secret he's hiding in here. Like, he is closer to a decent person, but he is, he's hiding something here.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see what's inside that forbidden shed.
Yeah. You know?
We do a little interstitial before we continue this, though. We do 8 hours until judgment as Jimmy. We see basically the results of what we're about to do. Daisuke is hurt. He's lying on a table holding his throat. And then Jimmy is apologizing to him about a cocktail.
Yeah.
We don't know what this is about. And we need to find a disinfectant for him.
Yeah. If you tried to go to the medical bay, did you do this to look there and see?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole side of the room with Curly's bed is this smeary area. It's not just like game glitches that it does. It is also like bad MPEG compression that it's doing too. Yeah.
It's neat looking.
But if you look over there, it's all smeary and artifacty. So there's nothing to use. You have to go to the cargo hold for the disinfectant. Something happened with the isopropyl alcohol. But there's a gravestone that blocks the way and your code light makes it disappear. And as you go in, you're down this nonsensical staircase to a maze made of catwalks over the boxes.
Yes. And a little screen, like the developer basically. Tells you to be quiet, says, a blind beast, aimless and restless, you can't run from it. And we get what this is too long.
Yeah.
To me, the gameplay sections of this, I feel like, are demerits. Mm-hmm. There's cool visuals and stuff here. You're going through catwalks and there's an invisible monster. You hear it more than you see it. And you look down at the boxes and the boxes rumble as it gallops. That looks really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and then if you make too much noise, if you run or walk too long, it comes up to you, you get a big kind of jump scare noise and you can look at it with your code light. And it is like a skeleton of a horse. It's like a mangled horse creature thing.
Yeah.
It looks cool. This goes on for fucking ever.
The cat, like the maze that you have to do here is too long. It's too big.
The draw distance doesn't make it work as a maze as well. Mm-hmm. If you try to go down a path, you get to a dead end. You just have to go around it and you can't move very fast. You have to walk very slowly while this thing stalks you, but you're in no actual danger because when it gets to you, the game makes a stop moving noise.
Yeah.
And then you're safe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I agree. It's too long. And like if it was, you know, not as onerous, if it was just like a little bit of a taste here. Yeah, but no, not in this degree.
It's cool imagery. And we're also running into a thing that is, you know, happens at the end of this game where I'm so much more interested in what really happened than I am of the guilt realm.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, like the actual drama of this is really, really good. My character hallucinating, having guilt hallucinations is less interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. This operates better as like a drama than it does a horror game. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just kind of, I feel, to me, it kind of tips that balance in a little bit more than it should.
Yeah. Yeah. But you reach the end and the goal is a bottle of mouthwash being held by a statue of Polly. And when you get it, you're back at Daisuke and he apologizes for messing up. And you use the mouthwash on him, but Anya was right. Also, this way too late for this to work. You pour it on him, he coughs, and then things glitch out and then get real quiet. Daisuke is gone.
Nothing Jimmy does is right.
No.
So we cut back to what's causing this. Jimmy's plan to get into this utility room is to give Swansea a spiked cocktail.
Yes.
You know, he's a drunk. Mm-hmm. He's just been drinking mouthwash a bunch.
Yeah.
So we go to the lounge and we mix the mouthwash with the isotropyl alcohol. And sweetener. Mm-hmm. Daisuke, you know, the emulator, the replicator has been out of service. It got foamed over. Mm-hmm. But Daisuke was smuggling some sweetener.
Yes. Yeah. So you take it to Swansea and he, you know, berates Daisuke. He hasn't even tasted it and says, you know, you're a terrible mixologist, terrible mechanic. And he says, you never should have come here. Who the fuck even decided to let you board? Huh? It was Curly.
Yeah. It's not coming, you know, from an angry place. It's coming from a now you're fucked kid.
Yeah. Place. Yeah.
You know, Swansea does have a heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talks about his own life has been just failure after failure. You know, everyone leaving him, you know, more mangled than the last.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. You think it's going somewhere, but every failure leaves you more mangled than you were before, older, uglier, meaner, smarter in a worse way. I like that line, smarter in a worse way.
Smarter in a worse way is a really good line.
Yeah. And, you know, at least outside of, so Jimmy and Anya have their own thing going on. But like Daisuke, Curly, and Swansea kind of being representative of like different parts of a person's like professional career and like bitterness, I think is good too. Cause like, you know, Swansea's past where Curly was, right?
Yeah. He's what Curly would become.
Yeah.
You know, if Curly didn't get off the ladder.
Yeah.
You know, Daisuke being a, you know, idealist early in his career works for me in theory. The character is a little too goofy.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me. He's a fan favorite. Like people love him because they think he's like really funny, but it's a little too goofy for me. So he toasts, you know, he says, this is a good toast as well. Maybe we never go to hell, but always be on our way. Great line. And he collapses. We're able to get his key.
Yeah.
At this point I was worried we killed him because the isotropic alcohol says it's deadly.
Yeah, the isopropyl alcohol, drinking that will really fuck you up. That is not ethanol. It metabolizes into something. It metabolizes an acetone. And I could have sworn for the world that Daisuke would have accidentally drank the cocktail, and that's why his throat was bleeding and stuff.
Yeah.
No, different. Swansea drank it, and it took him out, but it didn't kill him.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah.
We get into the utility room. We get to see Swansea's secret. There's barely any foam here.
Yeah.
He was lying. He was distracting Daisuke with busy work and keeping him out of here. And we see the secret he was hiding specifically, one cryopod.
Yeah.
This cryopod could keep some, there's only one that works, and it can keep somebody alive for 20 years, long enough for a rescue.
Yeah.
The vent is sparking. You know, like a G.I. Joe should pop out and tell us not to do this.
Yeah. get in the vent. Don't get in the vent.
Get in the vent, kid. Get in the vent, Blanco Nino. Jimmy ends up goading Daisuke into doing it.
Yeah.
He's small enough to do it. It's very unsafe. Mm-hmm. And he does it. And of course he gets hurt. There's electrical sparks in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He makes it to the medical room, but he gets really hurt. And we see Jimmy, you know, responsibility king, you know, Anya, what did you do?
Yeah.
For this.
No, so this. I think it's Daisuke who says, Anya, what did you do?
Oh, what did
like
you
that's
do?
His reaction when he gets up there. Yeah.
Got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
We cut over to one day before the crash. We're Curly again. Mm-hmm. And we're searching for the ship's gun.
Went missing.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's missing. It's no good. We go to the cockpit and Anya is there. She's doubled over. You know, she never got psych evals about herself.
Right.
And Curly says, you know, you could have come to me if you were super stressed. You know, I'd do anything.
Not the case.
And that's not true.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to protect his buddy. And she says like, hey, I can't hurt myself. You know, the gun's in a safety case. Only you can open it. But I hid the case. And she says like, hey, listen, I'm pregnant. And Curly's confused. And she's like, Captain, I told you, you know, but decides it's not worth it. She says, I know you never gave me the gun to protect myself. So the least I could do is make sure that he never gets it either.
Yeah. Yeah. Very sad. You know, this is where it's confirmed in the text that she told Curly about it and he chose to do nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, easy to turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
Here. And I, those are around as well.
Astute viewers will notice that the Steam icon for this is an eye, which might be a nod. And,
and that a Curly just stares at you with a big eye. And then ultimately every texture in the game turns into big eyes that are always staring at you. We cut over to 2 hours until judgment with Jimmy. Daisuke won't stop bleeding and Swansea has the axe.
Yeah.
You know, he says, you know, I never could have taught Daisuke anything, but now I realize that Daisuke could have taught me, you know, and he puts him out of his misery.
Yeah.
Very sad. Like he's dying from electrical bleeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, you know, close your eyes. And, you know, we see him swing the axe. Daisuke's out of view and the soundtrack cuts. And, you know, we come back and we see Swansea dropped it right in the middle of Daisuke's face.
Yeah. And Jimmy calls him a monster for doing this. And he says, you know, he won't suffer one more second because of your delusions.
Yeah, this is Swansea saying it to us, you know, saying it to Jimmy. Swansea's out of patience for Jimmy's shit.
Yep. Jimmy tries to turn around saying like, yeah, you have that cryopod. You know, you're sneaking around with the axe, telling Anya who knows what, you know, and he goes, oh no, Anya's been talking to me. And she's been telling me all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't keeping that cryopod for myself.
No.
The captain should traditionally go down with the ship, but you can take it. Mm-hmm. You know, if they find you, you can tell them whatever story you fucking want.
Yeah.
You know, you can lie and rewrite history here.
Mm-hmm. But Swansea knows. And, you know, though Jimmy doesn't, you know, directly say it, your objective is to go look for a gun.
Yep. To protect yourself. You find it under Curly's bed. Curly is alive, but Anya has died from a pill overdose. That's what Daisuke saw.
Yeah. You know? It's real gnarly. Like, she's just kind of like propped up against against a divider, you know, bottles of pills around her, vomit down her chin and chest.
Yeah.
Fandom, shipping.
Yep. Yeah. He's like, boy, I know she's dead and just committed suicide and vomited, but can you imagine if she was gay? Holy shit. That would be great. You could be in a relationship with her. She could be your wife. Like, what the hell? I do not understand the Youngs. It's so good that I don't have kids, and it's so good that I'm going to die in like 30 years.
There were people who like went after fan artists who did art sexualizing her, like actual, like, I don't know, just being real rough about it. But like, just I also don't get it. It does not. It icks me. I'm sorry.
I just don't know why this.
Uh huh.
Like I'm been on this earth long enough to understand that like sex assault and sex get wrapped up. Like people do that. You know, like there's you can have fantasies about all kinds of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But like fantasies specifically about a trauma victim is kind of new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it from a, like, I could fix her or I want her to have a good life. Like, I wouldn't Jimmy her. And like, congratulations, Nobel Peace Prize for you. Yeah. But like, you know, I wouldn't do that. But the sexualization is weird. It's like a Mega Man Legends level poly character who always looks really, really sad, who has one of the saddest stories in games.
Yeah.
And yeah, just like, man, but can you imagine?
Yeah.
Like scissoring her. Like, it just, what the hell?
Yeah.
I do not understand it.
You know, yeah. I can see having affection for the character because like, oh, like, you know, I also am a victim of this kind of trauma. And here is a character, you know.
Liking the character makes tons of sense to me. Yes. Romantically or sexually liking the character doesn't.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, rough scene.
Yeah.
Great, great moment here though. When you unlock the case and take the gun, Curly laughs. I love that. The first like non-screaming, non-moaning sound he's made.
Yeah, it's just laughter at all of this. You know, Anya killed herself right in front of him. It's really bad. And when you open the door to leave, Swansea is there and he runs at you with his, you know, with his axe, screaming, Jimmy.
Yeah, very good. And we cut before this. You know, it seems like it's going to be a thing. We cut to 0 days before the crash. We're playing as Curly. Anya is in the medical room. She says she told Jimmy about her pregnancy and she doesn't want him in her space anymore.
Yeah.
And Jimmy didn't respond. He just walked away.
Yeah. You find Jimmy outside of the cockpit and he asks, like, you know, rhetorically, like, you know, just, you know, what happens when we get home? Like he's committed this horrible crime. Like there will be evidence of it. His life is over if they ever get home.
Yep. And he turns it around because that's Jimmy's flaw.
Yeah.
You know, he goes, it's not just me, is it? You were the one who was supposed to have had everything under control. You said it yourself, this ship, this crew, that was your responsibility, Captain. That is what you'll be hearing for the rest of your life.
Yeah. As though it was Curly's responsibility to stop him from doing the thing he did.
Yeah. And like, again, Curly's not morally pure. He could have advocated for Anya. You know, there's Briggs made for Jimmy's.
Yep.
Would have made a lot more sense. But, him just saying we're equally responsible for this. Like that is, you know, if you pay very close attention to this game, responsibility is a minor theme. One of the things is it yells it at you all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. But this works on Curly. Curly's frozen at this because he does not want the confrontation with Jimmy. You know,
he's gormless. Yeah. He cannot advocate for himself or others. He is actually a very bad captain.
Extremely.
Like everyone is talking about how good of a captain he is, but he has no agency at this shit.
He's not taking control of anything.
Yeah.
No. You know, so Jimmy says, like, alternatively, this could be a tragedy and we could never be found, you know? Yeah. And this echoes a line from earlier from, you know, when Curly was talking about being at the top of the ladder. You know, he finally gets how Curly feels. He thinks, you know, you're standing, I see it. You know, you're standing at the top, feet in cement. I get it now. And then Take Care of It keeps on flashing up on the screen. And do you think that Jimmy is successfully, you know, convincing you, like, hey, let's go crash this thing?
Yeah. But we run towards the ship. Yeah. Or towards the cockpit as the ship is rumbling. Jimmy's sitting in the hallway and we ask what he did. Yeah. We go inside, the ship crashes. So that's what happened. Jimmy crashed the ship. The reason why we got so injured is because we were right in the cockpit, which got super foamed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of blown up.
Yeah. So, you know, he got burnt and Jimmy, you know, was unscathed pretty much.
Yeah. We cut over to 1 hour until judgment. We're carrying Curly and we take him to the lounge where the dead crew members are all flopped on the table arranged as a birthday party.
Mm-hmm. We've got party Swansea's hats on and everything.
Yeah, it's great. Swansea's eye has been shut out. And we put Curly on the table and the bodies all come to life wearing their party hats, mm-hmm. Cheering for your birthday.
Yeah.
We're going to eat the sack lunch. We're going to have the mini peptide cake.
And, you know, they're cheering and you saw off a portion of one of Curly's leg stumps and you hear the distorted laughter again. Yeah. You know, and Jimmy gives his little speech because everybody's, you know, shouting for a speech like at a birthday party. And, you know, a lot of people struggle to put foods on their plate, but that wasn't enough, right, Captain? The lowest rung of your ladder is our highest until it was all swept from under your feet. Life isn't even worth living at the same level of us, but I forgive you. All of us do. I won't give up on you even like this. I believe in you. Kind of carrying his inferiority, you know, all the way to past the end.
Yeah. And while dismembering him in this, you know, degree of realness. Like, we now are at a place where some things are just guilt fantasies,
mm-hmm.
And some things are not.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, like, this could plausibly have happened. This cheering wouldn't happen. The corpses wouldn't come back to life, but he could have arranged the corpses.
Yeah, arranged the corpses. He definitely cut off some of Curly and fed it to him, though.
He definitely cut off some of Curly and fed it to him and possibly ate some of it.
Yeah.
He says, they all have meat. He goes, you know, we'll get through this. We'll survive. And the screen warps and smears. Take responsibility. We're in the medical room and we fall into the vents here.
Yeah.
From that secret vent.
The scale's all wrong. You walk past little scenes, you know, medical beds, work lights, Bruce Wayne's parents dead outside of that theater.
Yeah.
It dead ends at a grate with a note that says no turning back. And you have to keep moving backwards away from these little notes. If you turn around, you die.
Yes.
And you just end up, you know, in this winding corridor.
When you get to it and you fall, you reach a vent entrance that's ringed with these fire axes. We cut to the utility room with Curly tied to a chair.
Yeah.
We pick up the gun and we shoot him.
I was wrong. This is not Curly. This is Swansea.
Oh, yeah, not Curly, Swansea.
Yes.
Swansea, yeah. You pick up the gun and you shoot him there. We are now in, this is where I am mostly ready for the game to be over. There are a couple of good parts.
Uh-huh.
But I know the story and we're fully in the psychic realm
of
stuff here. We get a fairly inexcusable, like I still like the game, but fairly inexcusable action scene.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're in this graveyard full of mausoleums and you and Swansea are stalking one another. You have to catch him in the middle of charging at you to shoot him,
mm-hmm.
In the mouthwashing engine.
Like, yeah.
It's kind of an action scene. When this game has fail states, it's no good.
No.
It's irritating.
Mm-hmm. I like the constituent parts of it, but also I think there's also a matter of degree here. You have to shoot him three times.
Yes.
Like, a thing that I like about this is, you know, like, you see him running and you know, it's not fucking with you. Like, it's telling you where he is, and shooting the gun is not a, like an instantaneous action. Like, you have to level it. You have to, you know, like, pull the trigger. There's resistance on it, you know, in order to draw the hammer back. And, you know, your timing has to be just right. If it was just one shot, okay, fine. The fact that you have to do it three times is like, oh no.
I agree that three times is too much. I also feel like it happening even once, like, Swansea goes into super slow-mo,
mm-hmm.
when this happens. Like, I don't think this is that interesting.
Yeah.
I would have cut the shit out of this. And we're like in a wholly, totally new set here. Yeah. Like, the graves symbolize death. I don't know. This is stupid. I don't like this.
Yeah.
What I do like when we're talking to Swansea in the chair, there it's in silhouette, and we get a really good monologue.
Yeah,
here from Swansea, where he's like, you know, before I die, I'm going to tell my story. Like, I drank for 13 years, and I had a vision of myself dead and bloated in the gutter. So I cleaned up. You know, I wanted to believe that that one setback wasn't my worst self.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I wanted to believe that I wasn't one setback away from my worst self.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he looks back on those days, like, those are actually the best days I had.
Yeah, the days drunk, you know, the discipline and accomplishment never felt as good as he expected, right? All these things that are supposed to be so rewarding, nothing ever felt as good as, you know, barely surviving the night from drinking.
Yeah. Like, I am a shithead. You know, those were my best nights, but I can see myself for what I am. But can you? You're a cowardly, selfish motherfucker, and you can't even see it.
Yeah.
And Jimmy says, no, I can still fix everything. We're all going to make it, as he levels his gun and shoots Swansea.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. You know?
Bam. Yeah.
Huge levels of dissonance.
Mm-hmm. And still in the realms, we run down this corridor that is all left turns that get tighter and tighter until you're just in a circle that is covered in eyes. Mm-hmm. And then you're in a throat. Running through the through the corridor here, the meat corridor. For all the world, this feels like womb, but you walk out and you run outside of a huge curly, his mouth. His one functional eye is missing now.
It'd be the entrance to a curly themed carnival attraction.
Yep.
But you approach, Curly is kind of like, affixed to a wall, and he's surrounded by these screens, with like these valves and stuff. Before you can interact, you turn to look at a television, that he's watching, and you know, it shows a cartoon, you know, just public domain Fleischer cartoon of somebody serving a cake. You click on the cake, and then it says, take Curly's leg. Feast, and then archival footage of like a kid eating. Yeah. And now you have to feed Curly.
Yep. And the only thing you can do is open his mouth. You have a gobbet of meat, of Curly meat. It says Curly's leg. Someday he'll thank me.
Yeah.
Very good. And we get a weird little Junior Jumbo puzzle.
Uh-huh.
We feed him and we watch the screens that show his digestive tract, and it gets stuck. He throws up. Mm-hmm. We turn these little knobs to rotate the digestive tracts. Like, we're doing fucking pipe dreams.
Yeah.
In this, but like, we don't have a solid overhead view.
No.
Of it. And like, the imagery here is great.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I love this, you know, feeding him this thing and having these weird mechanical pipes and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't really understand how this specifically, other than like, yeah, he definitely fed part of him to himself because he's a shitty psycho.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of don't get it. Like, it's fucked up and it's good, but it's semi-divorced from what I like about this.
Yeah, it's fucked up, it's good. What I think this is trying to communicate was this Curly kept trying to throw this up, you know, because he didn't want to eat a part of his own leg. And Jimmy just kept on trying to force it. I don't know what the valves are supposed to represent or whatever. Depicted straightly of like just a, you know, long sequence of trying and failing to feed this guy a part of himself could be good and fucked up. The imagery here is good. Making it into a gameplay puzzle, I think, robs it of that impact a little bit.
Or a failure means start over. It did. I did have an awesome emergent jump scare though.
Okay.
Where I put it in his mouth, it went down. I didn't figure out right away that it went on the screens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just saw him puke. I just thought I had to feed him. I didn't realize that the valves were operable, right?
Yeah.
So he puked. And I was like, okay, what do I need to do? I put it in his mouth, and then I opened and closed his mouth. I thought maybe I had to make him chew it.
Okay.
And my face was right up there, and then he puked in my face.
Oh, like, yay!
It didn't do anything. It wasn't like my character reacted to it, but it was just a jump scare of the screen puking on me while I was way too close to it. And I was like, oh, surely opening and closing his mouth will be a mechanic somewhere because it's so creepy and makes that weird noise.
Yeah, you could do it before. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's just turning the knobs and doing the pipe dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Great imagery, like perfectly good fucked up stuff, but just again, divorced from what I want.
Yeah.
Yes.
You clear the path and eventually it goes where it needs to go. And then you turn to the TV and you're controlling yourself from like a third person view, walking through the star field until you reach Curly. He's on fire and he just says, I want to go home.
Yeah. Curly tells Jimmy to finish what he started, you know, and mm-hmm. I will be the villain. Curly can be the villain. You'll be the better man in the end, just like you wanted.
Right.
And Jimmy again is claiming that he could do it. You know, I could have stopped it. I am taking responsibility. What happened was an accident. We are trapped. I made a mistake. All right. I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry, Curly. And ludicrous.
He's taking responsibility. I will take responsibility for this. He's talking about the crash. He's talking about being sorry that he hurt his friend. At no point in this does he acknowledge that what he did with Anya is wrong.
Yeah. In addition to him saying, taking responsibility for the crash, just being like, I fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, is a real understatement.
I picked a like whole ludicrous. Bouquet of whoopsie daisies.
Yeah. Silly shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're at an event here. We're going through, there's a big eyelid womb kind of heart thing. We take an ultrasound machine and kind of search for this little fetal horse.
Yeah.
And kind of chase it around. The eyes open up until the main birth canal vomits out a little pony centipede thing.
A huge pony centipede. Like it erupts out of it.
Yeah. And here is where, like, you know, keep saying, I hope this hurts. And we get the mouthwash slogans, you know, really washes the bad taste away as we're in kind of a bit of grid of vents trying to avoid the horse centipede. Yeah. It's instant death. The way it moves, it doesn't quite chase you. And you're always getting to T intersections where it might just be going down that T intersection.
Yeah.
Like I died a bunch here and I'm like, this really, you really didn't need to do this.
No, I died a bunch and I do not know how I ended it. I don't know what I did to succeed.
Exactly. It feels arbitrary and stupid. And it's so hat on a hat.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fetus horse centipede thing, again, fine image. And yes, he's fucked up about like pregnancy and horses, but there's nothing more to it than that.
Yeah.
You know, like so many hats on hats in this. Some of them are good hats, but like we're done. We finished it.
Yeah.
You know? Like it's over.
Yeah. So something that is weird about the, you know, going all the way back to the Swansea fight. Like we already know that Jimmy shot Swansea. Like we kind of get the story of it and the story of cutting part of Curly off and feeding him like two, maybe three times, except the second time told and by way of psychological horror realms.
Yeah. And sometimes a shitty mini game.
Yeah.
You know, here's a shitty mini game and some psychological horror imagery. And like, I feel like you do one or the other, you know, and I think the game is stronger at one of them than the other.
Yeah.
You avoid the centipede through, I don't know how, you get to this field of employee IDs, you know, then you're climbing the staircase of avalanching empty mouthwash bottles. When you reach the mountain of the bottles, you can interact with the Polly statue on top of it. And the Polly statue mocks you. Great little detail of this. When Anya was set up, there's a Polly statue that's motion activated. When Anya started sleeping in the lounge, that's where she slept.
Yeah.
You know, she was talking about how there weren't locks. She slept next to a motion activated statue. So she'd know she had been crept up on.
And at a certain point, the thing is smashed up, but it is still making the, it is still like saying the warped slogans or whatever.
Yeah. Still mocking Jimmy to him.
Yes. Yeah. Also, when you're talking to the Polly statue, it speaks in that voice.
Yes.
In the very kind of like, you know, squeaky, digitized kind of voice. It's the only voice dialogue in the game other than, you know, the pre-recorded stuff from the statue. He's mocking Jimmy, you know, and Jimmy says like, yeah, no, I can admit it. I finally, you know, recognize Curly's the better man, you know, and he says, we can both still make it. And he just says, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Polly replies, wait a minute. If all that's true, why are you still concerned with him?
Yeah.
You know, we got over to 0 hours before judgment. We pick up Curly from the lounge and carry him down the hallway into the utility room. And the objective says, go home. And we stick the sack lunch in the cryo chamber. We see this from Curly's point of view as Jimmy reassures Curly through the door.
Yeah.
You know, maybe admits, you know, I know you got hurt, but no one can hurt you now. We fixed it. I fixed it.
Yeah.
You know.
Then he starts up the cryo freezing process, preserving the life of this person whose life is not really worth preserving for 20 years to wake up, probably to starve to death. And even if he is found, it's like, to what? Right?
Yeah.
You know,
not the same somebody who has, you know,
yeah,
can't live a full life with medical help and everything like that. But it's a fucked up thing to do.
It's a very fucked up thing to do. And also like as a favor to someone. Thank you for correcting me on that, because I didn't want to say like, oh, I don't have any hands or feet. This isn't, I can't talk. Yeah. Like whatever. No, right? But just like, from Curly's point of view, having existed in this horrible pain, having gone through all of this, to not have the release that Jimmy is going to get.
Yeah.
Right. In this situation. Yeah.
It's a gesture. It's how the game is presenting it as well, as a hollow gesture for Jimmy.
Yes.
Yeah. His kind of warped circus mirror version of taking responsibility wouldn't be to save Anya or save, Daisuke or any of the people who are innocent. It'd be save his culprit, his co-conspirator in this, who he has horribly mutilated and autophaged.
Yeah.
And he still feels like he's coming out on top. I fixed it, is his last line before he shoots himself.
Yes.
It's pathetic. Like, truly one of the worst shitheads in games, and just never gets it.
Nope.
Goes through this huge psycho, crazy series of realms and never understands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can accept culpability for having hurt Curly, but like all of the psycho realm stuff, was him running away from the reality of what he did to Anya, right?
Yeah. And he never accepts responsibility for hurting the other crew members either.
No.
And wasting a lot of mouthwash, hurting the bottom line as well. Yeah. Good game. Again, it lives in the prose, I think.
It does.
The dialogue is really good. Recounting it, going through this last part made me tired the same way it did playing it.
Yeah.
It looks neat, but I was just very surprised it kept going, and I don't think it needed it.
No.
The joy of this is figuring out what happened and kind of seeing how these characters react to each other in realistic ways, like seeing these different stages of culpability and people at different levels of dissatisfaction with their life, and kind of different dead ends or having been cut off at different points, dealing with this under this kind of like vague super theme of capitalism.
Yeah.
Of bad job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, an uncommon story told uncommonly well. And the weird, the weird thing is that the more it tries to be the game, the more it gets in its own way.
Yeah. A common refrain, right? Even Devotion, which I think is really good, it's my favorite one of these, has gameplay segments that are not great.
Yeah.
It's just how it's the nature of the beast. And we talk about how sometimes, if something should be a game or not. I think this game should be a game, experiencing this non-linearly and from the first person. And the times it subverts gameplay things cleverly make that worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, it's just there's a lot of cruft.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thing, I like this a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
It did get built up a lot for me.
Yeah, that's a problem.
As a thing, because it has this breakthrough success and has a thing in it. And I don't think that does any services.
Yeah.
I
went into this before it had that kind of breakthrough fandom kind of thing. And it fucking blew me out of the water. Right.
Yeah.
Especially on stream, I was worried as I was going through, oh, hey, this is really gameplay light. And then it, stuck the landing on stuff that we talked about, sticking the landing with. And it's like, oh yeah, okay, this is uncommonly good in what it is doing. Yeah. So I didn't have it built up, and that's probably why it worked better for me.
A moral of a story here is that if you're going to do gameplay, make it about something.
Yeah.
Huge compare and contrast case you can always make with Amnesia 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay stuff that this has is generally Amnesia 2 level.
Mm-hmm.
There's three things in a room, put them together.
Yeah.
We just want to delay you a little bit, as opposed to Amnesia 1 level where it's doing something.
Yeah.
But with, again, with great, great prose.
Mm-hmm.
Really good text.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for listening. If you're listening to this and you're any kind of marginalized person and you have a project or product you'd like us to shout out, please send me an email at gary@duckfeed.tv. Include pronouns, a link, and any relevant information, pronunciation, things like that. We'd be happy to do so. We don't have one now. But yeah, if you have something, we'd be happy to shout you out.
Yeah. In the promo zone here, I want to say that I have appeared on other podcasts. So we're probably not going to talk about anything more Metal Gear on this show. At least not with Gary.
Maybe Acid.
Maybe Metal Gear Acid. Gary is reserving the right for that. Yeah. But if you want to hear my thoughts on Metal Gear Solid 3 Delta, I was on Metal Gear Mondays with Alessio and Lily talking about the opening to that game. They do like a bonfireside chat, but for Metal Gear and Kojima stuff. So it might be a place to go for that kind of stuff. They're great. Also, I'm on an upcoming Tales from the Backlog, talking with Dave about Silent Hill 3. And I think they have a mouthwashing episode coming out as well. So, yeah.
Nice. I have a thing.
Okay.
I got a blog now. I made it a website. It's a newsletter and website. Mm-hmm. It's a Google site. I'm doing it to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
So I will keep up with it. So it, you know, it's a Google site. It has a long Google address.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, you know, for promo and stuff.
I can,
maybe we
I can
get help. A network redirect.
Yeah. I can help you with a redirect.
Yeah. Yeah. So we will, we'll have a redirect on somewhere on the DuckFeed site soon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just writing about stuff, getting thoughts out now that I'm on social media. Yeah. You can either get that in a newsletter or on the blog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, what can they do?
Well, if you have thoughts about this month's games, which are Mouthwashing, the Silent Hill 2 Remake, Cryptmaster, or Fear, Fear being our premium episode, go to duckfeed.tv/contact and use the appropriate buttons to write in by October the 15th. Additionally, if you have thoughts about November's games, the deadline there is November the 15th. Those are Monster Train 2, Unpacking, and Hitman Blood Money.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're coming up on a couple of yearly things. It's our busy season. So mm-hmm. we will be at the Portland Retro Gaming Expo this year. We're coming back for mm-hmm. the first time in a long time. Joining us are the Retronauts. We are likely joining them as well. It's a big, mm-hmm. happy family.
Yeah.
Come to that. They have not told us when our panel is.
I'm looking at it right now. Still not announced. Yeah.
Still not announced. That happens. We're not tabling. So we're going to be there. We're going to have a meetup that Saturday night at Quarter World. Mm-hmm. Current start time is 7 p.m. Come say hi.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd really appreciate that.
Bring your badge from the show. I think Quarter World has a cover.
Yes.
They will waive the cover if you have the badge.
Yep. And you can use literal quarters there. They also will do the card thing. Mm-hmm. It's a good arcade.
Yeah.
And bar and food. You need to do the things there that people do when they're outside.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, you know, right after November, we're going into our winter RPG, and that's Duckstream. Like, we're coming into our busy season.
Yes.
So stuff to look forward to.
Yeah. If you want to support us, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. That's how you get the full version of our premium episodes, Fear and Hitman Blood Money. Plus, I think we're just crossing 100 premium WAFs, something like that. Nice. It's a good value.
Yeah. 100 months.
Mm-hmm.
Of this. You can also leave us ratings and reviews and subscribe to us on whatever podcast directory you do this. Please share episodes. We don't advertise. So mm-hmm. if you like our show, tell people about it.
Yeah.
And if you want to leave us a review, leave us a nice review.
Please.
We like those.
Yeah.
Our five-star podcast. Give us a five-star review.
Yeah. We think we've earned it. Yeah. last of all, we would like to thank our producer, Gwen. Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. Big thanks to Gwen. Until next time, what should they watch out for? 4K?
Oh, responsibility. That shit sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Just have that on the back of your eyelids whenever you close your eyes. Just take responsibility. Bam, 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 bam. Responsibility jump scares left and right.